This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me on a weekly basis or whenever you do. And thank you for listening to all of the Intelligent Medicine podcasts. You can also access all of our articles at drhoffman.com, as well as the online pharmacy at drhoffman.com, which is now full script. The destination for questions and any topics of interest that you may have is radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I read a really interesting article that I am so compelled to share with you. This is from Food and Nutrition Magazine by Monica Reinagle, who's a nutritionist and a certified nutrition specialist. Now, I'm not a fan of GMOs, right? Many of us aren't. We question the safety and all of that. The health implications, there have been no long-term studies done, right? But this got me very excited. And so let me tell you about it, and you could decide for yourself. There is enormous excitement about the potential applications of genome editing, or gen ed for short, genome editing. Billed as a set of techniques that promise more precision, flexibility, and efficacy, these new breeding technologies are fast replacing the biotechnology used to create the first genetically engineered crops, the first GMOs. Scientific and agricultural communities are eager to foster a better understanding and greater acceptance of this technology in hopes of moving past the Frankenfood stigma, shadowing GMOs, shadowing genetic engineering technology. So, genetic modification through the ages, the genetic modification of organisms happens in nature, right? We all have mutations. We've got mutations on our genome of how well we absorb vitamin D. It's about the vitamin D receptor. It's a particular gene that you may or may not have the mutation to. You've all heard of the MTHFR. I'm talking about human genome now. We all have mutations that makes us respond differently to nutrients, environment, and all of that. Now, these modifications happen in nature, right? We're kind of born this way. And genetic modification of organisms happens in nature without any human intervention. As plants and animals reproduce, random genetic changes called mutations occur. Now, these mutations occur because it's a mistake. The mutation could be a mistake, or it could be in terms of natural selection, so that the organism may survive. That's how these genetic mutations happen. So, as plants and animals reproduce, random genetic changes called mutations occur. Some mutations are beneficial, some are detrimental, and some are neutral. Growers have long sought to take advantage of this natural phenomenon by selecting the most successful mutants, that's in quotes, as seed stock, or by crossbreeding similar plants in an attempt to transfer desirable traits to other strains. This is a technique called hybridization. Hybridization is the crossbreeding two closely related plants to create a new strain, right? Starting in the early 20th century, breeders began applying chemicals or high-dose radiation to seeds in order to create mutations at a higher rate than would occur naturally. This is called enhanced mutagenesis. And again, enhanced mutagenesis is the use of high-dose radiation and or chemicals to produce mutations at a higher rate than would occur naturally. Plants with desirable mutations could then be crossed with other seed stock or crossed back into the parent stock to improve the quality and characteristics of the original variety. Regardless of how the mutations occur, opportunities for crossbreeding are limited by the ability of two plants to successfully reproduce. An example is a grapefruit can be crossed with an orange, but not with a tomato, right? This limitation was then overcome in the 1970s by gene transfer technology that allowed scientists to transfer genetic material from one organism to another, called transgenic modification. So transgenic modification is how GMO is achieved. So GMOs, this transgenic modification is achieved regardless of whether the two organisms were closely enough related to cross naturally. The first transgenic plant, the Flavor Saver tomato, was approved for human consumption and brought to market in 1994, but was not sufficiently profitable to continue production. Although there are no genetically engineered tomatoes on the market, 9 transgenically modified food crops, GMOs, are commercially available. You know some of these: corn, soybean, squash, papaya, alfalfa, sugar beets, canola, potato, and apples, most of which were modified to increase resistance to disease or pests or tolerance to a specific herbicide. Hence our big problem. Because they are resistant to herbicides, farmers can spray with abandon the Roundup, the glyphosate, this carcinogenic material that now we are ingesting even more of than ever before. But that was a little digression of mine. All right, coming back to Gen Ed. But with the advent of genome editing techniques, the gene splicing techniques used to create GMO crops are comparatively clunky and primitive. Imagine. Instead of transferring genetic material from one organism to another, and so many, you know, we all think of this as frankenfood, scientists, and this is what I was excited about, scientists can now edit an organism's own DNA by deleting a few nucleotide bases, the basic units in DNA, or shifting them slightly. So no foreign genetic material is involved. It's like the difference between using a photo editor to paste one person's head on another person's body and editing a few pixels to remove a blemish or fix flyaway hairs into a picture. It's kind of like using Photoshop in the organism's DNA, tweaking, fixing. By deleting, adjusting a few of those nucleotide bases, which are the building of DNA, scientists may be able to do this. So the risks and rewards of these new technologies. Out of a handful of genome editing techniques, the CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, this is an acronym, dash C-A-S-9, so we're going to call this the CRISPR-Cas9 method, has emerged as the most promising gen ed technique. CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats, a sequence of nucleotides that acts as a DNA bookmark, making it easier to locate specific pieces of an organism's genetic code. Cas9 is an enzyme produced by certain bacterial strains as part of the bacteria's acquired immune response. Its function is to search for and edit or cleave or inactivate specific CRISPR sequences that belong to previously recognized pathogens. However, it also can be programmed to recognize and edit any CRISPR sequence and is now being used by genetic engineers to tweak the genetic code of plants and other organisms. So, the result is fewer unintended effects, and less desirable traits are revealed much more quickly. Research and development of new crops and traits is more efficient and less costly, and products can be brought to market more quickly. CRISPR technology is so much faster and more precise that many geneticists believe pursuing new transgenically modified crops, GMOs, no longer makes a lot of sense. This could be now moving away from GMO. Genetic researchers working with gene editing, along with farmers and growers, are excited about the potential for CRISPR technology to expedite solutions to a wide array of pressing concerns, including climate change, malnutrition, population growth. Existing food crops can be modified to increase yields and drought and pest resistance, and improve nutrient profiles. This is very exciting to me as a nutritionist because, you know, I want the world to be fed. I want the end of world hunger. If we can do this, if science can do this in a very responsible way, not producing frankenfood, first doing no harm, not blending the genes of a peanut with a tomato and vice versa, which can create all kinds of new problems that we're not even aware of because we don't know what we don't know. There has to be testing, and there is not enough testing to keep up with the technology. If there is something here that could be simpler, less dangerous, and that can replace GMO technology, I am interested. Again, as long as it's not proving to cause harm. Let me go on with this wonderful article that I'm excited about. So, all breeding and agricultural methods have the potential to impact the environment and the genetic makeup of our food supply. And with any new technology, the unknowable looms particularly large, especially when advances have the potential to alter the landscape so quickly and dramatically. Genetically engineered foods, GMOs, have been part of the food system for more than 20 years, And despite scientific consensus that these foods are safe for human consumption, and I have to differ there with what this article is saying, because there's enough science on the other side that is still questioning if these GMOs are safe for human consumption. Okay. A 2016 NDP group report found GMOs continue to be a growing concern for consumers. So much so that some food manufacturers have removed GMO ingredients from their products, and I applaud them for doing so, because GMOs are still a concern. I am still concerned about them. I actively seek out non-GMO produce when I do my produce shopping. The evolution away from transgenics, from GMO, to genome editing renders certain issues moot. And here enters my excitement. Let me go on. For example, questions about food allergens are largely obviated by CRISPR techniques because no foreign genetic material is introduced in gen ed foods. Other concerns, such as a loss of biodiversity or the development of pesticide and herbicide resistance, are not unique to new breeding technologies. Any use of pesticides or herbicides, including approved organic ones, has the potential to promote resistance. Yes, that we know. The process through which weeds and pests develop resistance to chemicals is the same process used by traditional breeding, mutagenesis. Yes, this is true. Random mutation can produce a pest or weed that is resistant to a given chemical, increasing its chance of survival, and therefore its ability to pass that trait to the next generation. So for good or for bad, for nature, for Mother Nature, it's about survival of the fittest, natural selection. So let's talk about regulatory status. Meanwhile, as society weighs the potential risks of new technologies with the real need for solutions to pressing problems, lawmakers are grappling with how new breeding technologies and their products should be regulated. Because CRISPR technology does not involve the transfer of foreign genetic material, it does not fit the current definition of a genetically modified food, making its regulatory status a bit of a gray area. So far, the USDA has opted not to regulate foods created with CRISPR technology as GMO foods. They're not being classified as GMO foods, these gen ed foods. The FDA is reviewing its existing guidelines for determining the safety of new plant varieties and is seeking input from the scientific community. To the extent that regulations are put in place, scientists are calling for a, quote, product versus process-based, end quote, review system, whereby as new foods are brought to market, they are evaluated according to the attributes and makeup of the food itself, not how these attributes were acquired. Now, there's a danger in that. You want to know how these attributes were acquired, how those mutations occurred, and all of that. And I think consumers should know the difference between a genetically modified organism, GMO, and a gen ed organism, this new CRISPR technology, which may be less dangerous. I don't know. This is new. All of this remains to be seen, but I'm excited that science is looking for ways to reduce harm. So let me talk to you about coming soon to a shelf near you. Here are some new crops being developed using CRISPR-Cas9 genome editing techniques. Anti-browning mushrooms. Scientists from Penn State University used CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing to disable an enzyme that causes white mushrooms to brown, thereby extending shelf life. The mushroom has been cleared by the USDA for commercial cultivation. Wow. Disease-resistant citrus. Genetic scientists hope CRISPR-Cas9 technology may provide a solution to the citrus greening disease that is decimating Florida orange groves by editing the genome of the trees to make them more resistant to the pathogen that causes the disease. Fungus-resistant bananas. The global banana crop is currently under threat from a widespread fungal disease. Australian scientists already have succeeded in introducing resistance via transgenic modification. Now, they hope to use CRISPR-Cas9 techniques to produce disease-resistant bananas without introducing any foreign DNA. Wow, that would be great, because once you introduce foreign DNA, it's a genetically modified organism, and there may be danger, right? And get this, reduced gluten wheat. Scientists in Spain have successfully used CRISPR-Cas9 techniques to modify the genome of wheat, producing strains that are significantly lower in gluten. Wow. Wow. Now, I really want to see the result of all of that and what may happen as a result. So I am totally staying tuned to this science, and I will update you as I find out more. Because if that's something that can happen, and if this is a technology that will not harm, more power to it. So I applaud Monica Reinagle, MSLDN CNS nutritionist. Here, this is in Food and Nutrition Magazine in the March-April 2018 edition. This is very, very exciting news. So again, GMOs have not taken off. Scientists have been looking for something else. And this new gen ed technology, this genetic editing technology, think film editing, think Photoshop, editing your photo, not introducing some foreign material, not introducing, which may potentially remove danger. That remains to be seen. I'm going to view this with skepticism, because we always want to first do no harm, and I promise I will keep you up to date as I find out more. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. With a flu shot unreliable this year, a particularly virulent form of the flu circulating, and antiviral drug stockpiles dwindling, the best medicine is preventive medicine to bolster our immune defenses. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Seasonal Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.